Crypto is for everyone. Not just rocket scientists, venture capitalists, and high IQ developers. Welcome to The Agenda, a Cointelegraph podcast that explores the promises of crypto, blockchain, and Web3, and how regular-ass people level up with technology.
Crazy Peppa, Zombie, Nyan, Boon, Crazy Bee, Macat, Urville. I've never heard of any of these crypto tokens, but by the time this episode airs, one or more of them might be worth hundreds of millions of dollars. These are all newly minted cryptocurrencies on the Solana network, and they've been launched within the last 15 minutes of the time that I'm writing this.
The bull market is back, and with it comes everyone's favorite, or least favorite, symbol that euphoria is returning, and that is, of course, meme coins. As this cycle continues, we will surely hear inspiring stories of intrepid traders who turn $10 into $10 million by getting in early on a coin that explodes, but we will surely also hear sad stories of pumps and dumps and other investors losing money.
It seems like everyone has a strong opinion on meme coins, whether they think they bring a sense of joy and fun to crypto that is often missing, or whether they think they distract from the real-world issues crypto seeks to solve. To help us understand how we got to this point we are at today, with meme coins and degeneracy back in full swing, we are joined by Andreas Brecken, the founder of Sideshift AI, a no-sign-up crypto exchange that releases weekly research reports, most recently highlighting the explosion in activity surrounding Solana and how it's directly correlated with the explosion of meme coins.
So welcome, Andreas. Thank you for joining us here on The Agenda. There's a big time difference, so I'm blanking on whether it's early or it's late for you, but either way, we appreciate you making the time. So I guess to kick things off, what exactly, like what the hell is going on over on Solana? It seems like every time I go on Twitter, there's a new trending, absurdly named token that everybody's talking about. What's, break it down for us.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for having me on. First of all, that was an amazing intro you guys have. I love that. And, yeah, I mean, this meme coin cycle is, I think is really refreshing because I remember them. I mean, towards the end of the previous cycle, which I guess we can say started in like 2019, as that ended and the bear market begun, I was wondering, everybody's wondering, like, what's going to be the next thing? So, you know, we're wondering what's going to be real world assets. Would it be like treasury bills on the chain? Would it be like, we didn't know. And now we're in it. And the meta, as we call it, is meme coins, like predominantly on Solana. So I think that's an amazing thing because it's like the meme coins, it's a super easy and friendly way for just normal people to get involved in crypto just using your phone. And it's completely, it's like Dogecoin used to be back in the day. It's less intimidating. So it's a way for people to get involved. And yeah, it's silly, right? So, I mean, I guess it's the Austin Federa, I think, is the chief strategy officer of Solana Foundation. And he's been asked all the time on TV and everything, is this pointless with the meme coins? Are we wasting our time? Are we wasting people's money? And I agree with him, which is it's a completely harmless way to use crypto. It's a really fun way to spend some time with your friends and just random people on the internet, just on jokes. And at the end of the day, we're using the technology, right? We're using a lot of the meme coin trading is done on DEXs on Solana, so it's completely decentralized, which I would say for the first time in this cycle, like most of the trading on the meme coins, I think is being done on phones. Previously, I think most have been on computers and laptops. So there's a lot of innovation happening. So yeah, it is funny, but we're testing real stuff because the same technology we can use to trade meme coins is literally the same technology we'd use to trade any other assets on chain or cross chain. So yeah, I'm really enjoying this.
So we'll definitely dive way more into meme coins and decide this question of whether or not they're 100% harmless. And you didn't use the word 100%. That's my word, I guess. But
oh, yeah.
Because I don't know that I would say that they're completely harmless.
Yeah, agreed.
But we can get into that in a little bit. But just before that, I guess let me ask to introduce Sideshift a bit where you work. So Just quickly, what does SideShift do? What does it mean to be a no signup exchange? And then how has the most recent frenzy on Solana affected SideShift as a platform?
Yeah, so SideShift AI is a no signup exchange, which means, I mean, we traditionally call this swap services. So as opposed to what you call traditional centralized exchanges or SEXs, like Kraken, like Coinbase, like Binance, where you have an account and you have a balance and you trade with that balance, you make deposit and withdrawals. That sounds a lot like a bank, right? So SideShift is not a bank and we don't take custody of your funds. So if you want to swap from Ether to WIF, as in dog WIF hat on Solana, then you just say, I have Ether, I want WIF.
Mm-hmm.
And you create an order. You don't need to log in or create an account or anything. And we'll give you an address where you can send the Ether. You give us the address where you want the WIF tokens. And we settle this trade as soon as you send the Ether. So you don't have a balance with us. And I mean, we can get more into that as well. But users not having a balance on exchanges is a really good idea. Because all the pain we've seen in the past with exchanges and exchange problems and hacks and fraud and everything is because people are using these exchanges as banking accounts, right? So just the fact that you can't have a balance with us, every trade is sent directly to your wallet after. This means you're basically forced to self-custody your funds. And that's just going to be better for everybody. And yeah, for myself, I'm an engineer. So, you know, the first version of SideShift that was made about 5 years ago, I just made everything myself. We're obviously a bit of a bigger team these days. But yes, I'm a programmer. I focus on the technology. That's what I do. And I still program every day with my team. And you asked, how has the meme coin frenzy, how are you feeling it at SideShift? It's great. We're seeing tons and tons of volume on Solana. So traditionally for us, the main things that people want to trade is exactly what you think. It's Bitcoin, Ether, and stable coins. I think this has been true everywhere for a while. And everything else becomes like this long tail where they have very little usage, sporadic compared. But in the past few weeks, Solana became the top ranked coin on SideShift above Bitcoin and Ether in a weekly volume, which, yeah, I mean, it's great. We spend a lot of time maintaining the Solana infrastructure, working on that, being on top of everything and supporting it. So I'm always very happy when people start really using it.
So obviously the short-term impact, and I use that term neutrally, the short-term impact of this whole Solana meme coin craze, I'm sure has been, based on what you said, kind of a net positive for a platform like SideShift.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, trading is up, so I'm sure fees are up, activity is up, interest is up. And for Solana, obviously, it's generated a ton of interest in the blockchain. Tons of people are using it. For the validators, I'm sure whatever they're getting paid is they're getting paid more now. But what's the long tail of sort of the meme coin craze? Like, is other long-term benefits for a blockchain like Solana, for a platform like yourself, from people engaging in meme coins in the short term? Because presumably, I mean, this isn't going to last forever. Based on the last cycle, the interest in meme coins explodes. And when the market crashes, it sort of dries up entirely. And we're back to sort of quote unquote, the builders who are doing the dirty work of building the infrastructure or whatever. So with something like this, is there a long tail benefit for crypto blockchain for these platforms that comes from this kind of maybe short or medium term interest in meme coins?
Yeah, what we're seeing, there's so many users on Solana trading right now. So these DEXs are really fighting to keep things running and they have to operate at a scale we just haven't seen before on Solana, right? So even when this meme craze is over, and of course it will end, then the advances that's been made on making the chain faster, we're still going to have that. And the advances in how efficient the DEXs can operate, we're still going to have that. And suddenly we're seeing a need for these DEX aggregators on Solana, which we haven't been so necessary before. And an aggregator is just, it splits up your trade maybe across two exchanges, so you don't impact the price too much on one, which is very common on Ethereum, but hasn't been so necessary on Solana. But now the aggregators are becoming very useful. So the big aggregators like, I guess Jupiter is the biggest one, they're really becoming useful and much more relevant than they were even this last year. And these advances in the tech, we're going to keep that. And, you know, Circle, who issues the USDC stablecoin, they seem to really have put the afterburners on the project to get the USDC working and popular on Solana. We're going to keep that. I think we're going to see a lot of traditionally bridging between EVMs, like Ethereum and the others, and Solana has been just not very easy. But we're also seeing a ton of activity of existing bridges starting to approve again and new bridges. So when the meme craze is over, whatever that means, I don't know how much of the meme coin technology is going to be useful. Because if it's just like coming up with a funny name and a picture, there's not much technology in that. There's just art and humor. But all the tech advances, I mean, we can use that for everything. So that is what we're going to keep. And yeah, I think it's going to be better than the NFT craze of the last cycle, because I know we've been able to keep some NFT technology today. You can have membership in a club or in some online community or have rewards and things like that with NFTs. But I was a bit disappointed with how much we were left with after the NFT craze. So I think this is going to be a good one.
I like that you mentioned that while meme coins are fun, the utility aspect and the after the kind of craziness subsides, what does the project do and what do the investors do with those coins? Point. I like that you bring that up because it segues into the next question. So does Sideshift have any data that shows where meme coin funds go as a project loses momentum and investor interest? Like what happens to all the money that's in SHIB or what's the dog with hat? Like that money rotates elsewhere. But what happens? Does it leave the network? Does it go into other projects on the network? Does it rotate into the base network? Does it go back into stable coins? Where's the money flow when meme coins kind of go bust?
First of all, we do not collect data on this one. There's other people who like to analyze this kind of where the funds are flowing. Usually they track this to deal with fraud. So I guess ZachXBT on Twitter would be the number one on that. And then there's other people who do it for trading analytics. I think Arkham Intel is one, and there's some other. So they would be the experts. But if I have to guess, I mean, there are the people who mint the meme coins and do these initial sales because they provide initial liquidity. So my best guess is that this would be like any kind of ICO or pre-sale where there doesn't seem to be much of a product behind the hype. So I assume they will spend it on marketing and keep the rest is what I guess they're doing. And as for the users, you mentioned in the intro that in the last in the 15 minutes before you were recording the intro, you had a number of list of meme coins that are just launched. And you said that somebody's going to make a lot of money on one of these, right? So the people who make all of that money, what are they going to do? And my guess is that they're going to stay in crypto. They're going to rotate into holding this SOL, the Solana token, or Bitcoin, or Ether, or I don't know, buy their mom a house. I don't know exactly, but I suspect it's going to stay in the ecosystem.
Right, right. From a network point of view, what are a few positives and negatives to a meme coin season? So for someone who's a dev or a protocol building on a certain blockchain, what sort of valuable insights can they take away from meme coin frenzies?
Well, on the technology side, there is stuff like I mentioned before, which would be, it's putting tremendous pressure on the blockchain, like on Solana. And if you guys have been paying attention, the Solana blockchain had better uptime during meme season with an extraordinary amount of users than it seems to have had at the start of the bear market. So maybe this like fire under the feet of the Solana devs have really forced them into this a new era of this stability for Solana. So that's for the chain itself. And you were talking about, I guess, devs who make things on the chain, like programming smart contracts or builders like myself. Well, I mean, what we see is when there's a lot of new developers, we get many positives.
Yeah.
One thing is people will learn or want to learn how to program or develop smart contracts because they're seeing all this attention on the meme coin. So I think it attracts talent. And all this usage leads directly to people making better development tools for smart contract developers like myself to use. And yeah, it just grows the entire ecosystem for developers. So we get new tools and we get more scale and we get stability.
How do you think the meme coin frenzy plays out over the next few months? And in terms of larger market cycle progression, do meme coin kind of parabolic events do those give you any sort of like reference point on where we are in the current market cycle or in the current bull market?
Yeah, it's tempting to sit here now at the what may be the height of the meme cycle or could be just the start of it and think that people would just come to their senses and go stake some Ether, stake some Solana, do some DeFi. But I mean, this meme coin season could go on for ages. If you follow the meme stocks, which would be like, you know, Theater, AMC, and GameStop and some, people are still aping into these meme stocks today, and it's been years. So it's possible that the meme coins will stick around and keep evolving and keep rotating between chains and different metas or whatever is funny for well past the summer this year. And your question leads into how does this relate to bigger part of the cycle that we're in and this other project? So, I mean, obviously what I'm hoping, because crypto is my career, so I want these cycles to continue and to bring in more and more people. So what I'm hoping is that the meme coins will attract lots of new users in a lighthearted and fun way, and that the meme coins will be the gateway drug for them to actually study Bitcoin and how it's different from the fiat money they have in their bank account, and make them think about things like inflation and how they can use crypto to deal with that, and maybe think about crypto as or even stable coins as an option for remitting money and all these traditional things that we think of as being the crypto use cases.
We mentioned in the intro that the kind of perspectives on whether meme coins are positive, negative, good, bad, are kind of all over the place. And you seem to be coming more from a perspective looking at the positives of this rather than focusing on what the potential negatives might be. But it does seem to be the case that, and this is not limited to meme coins, you see this with ICOs and initial DEX offerings, and you see this with just any newly launched coin, people trying to ape in as early as possible, hoping that they'll get some 10,000% return on their investment and be able to retire and buy their mom a house, like you said, somebody might be doing with one of those coins that just launched 60 seconds ago. So while I think that a lot of people do look at meme coins as this is just dumb fun and I'm going to just throw a couple bucks here and there and maybe I'll get lucky, and if not, it'll be fun to say I own Geo Biden or Bowden or whatever it's called. But for some people, it almost certainly can become like a serious issue, a serious gambling issue. Like there's a difference between going to the casino with your friends, having $200 set aside and knowing it's okay if you lose it because you're going to have fun, and going to the casino and cashing out your life savings, selling your house and losing all your money. So my concern with meme coins is that people hear about these crazy big wins and they think that I just need to put all my money into meme coins, or that somebody's going to hear that and put all my money into meme coins, which is probably the worst investment advice I could ever give anybody. So I guess from your perspective, at what point does trading meme coins turn from I'm having some fun with my friends and this is a net positive to an actual psychological issue or gambling issue? And what can we be doing maybe as people in the space who care about people not losing their money, or friends, like if a friend came to us to ask about meme coins, like what can we be doing to make sure that people aren't just throwing their all their life savings into meme coins and losing all their money?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked this question because I was thinking a bit about this today. And you mentioned the casinos, just going having fun with your friends, take a trip to Vegas, stuff like that. But the thing is, if you go to Vegas and spend some time, and I have, you will notice that there are plenty of people there who are literally, they are gambling with their houses on credit to the casino. This is very, very common.
Oh, yeah.
And there's lots of people there who told their wife they were going to the air conditioning unit expo for something, but they're actually just sat there just losing a lot of money. So the reason I bring that up is that gambling is an issue. It's part of our brain that we get addicted to these quick hits of things, and some people will just get stuck in that loop. And I guess the meme coins, it draws on the same thing as a slot machine, as in the casino, as sports betting, as many other things. The reason I was thinking about this today is because I was reading something online where someone was saying that, and specific to the US, I guess, that it seems like gambling is getting really big and that people are gambling more. And I'm sure you've noticed, especially sports gambling has gotten very big with DraftKings and everything going from being illegal to now being extremely common. And maybe the bigger question is like, why are people gambling so much? I think one way to look at this is it may be that people are gambling because they don't trust the system to give them a fair chance. And they're looking at the inflation and your money is becoming worth less all the time and your salary is not going up. So it could be that it's just a symptom of a financial system that people don't trust. So maybe a lot of people are just opting out and saying they're making the money valueless all the time anyway. When inflation is, I might as well just gamble it and hope for a big win. And I think that's it's something that's really interesting to look at past meme coins, which means that we can also use this as a chance to think about how the meme coins speculation and other gambling relates to the economy and how crypto actually can solve a lot of these problems, like making people lengthen their time horizon, get better at saving, which is something that Bitcoiners have been really good at, or actually taking control of your money and not being a victim to inflation, which is possible with what Bitcoin and Ethereum, I guess. So yeah, maybe that we can use the meme coins as a way to reflect about why we're gambling so much.
It's an interesting perspective. I studied sociology in undergrad, so I think that's, if I were to write a research paper about meme coins, it would be impossible to not mention the context that people are putting their money into meme coins in. I mean, you're right that inflation is out of control. There's housing crises all around the world. People don't trust governments. People don't trust the financial system. And yeah, I do think that gambling in general, I mean, you can go to the gas station or the corner store or the grocery store here in America, and it might be the same elsewhere, and the same person will be there every single day buying the exact same scratch-off lottery ticket, hoping for some sort of escape from the financial situation that they're currently living in. But then on top of that, there does exist an industry that then knows that people are struggling financially and decides to prey upon them, which in the cryptocurrency world, I mean, you see how bad it can get in Vegas, and that's legal there. In cryptocurrency, there's like hardly any regulation. People can literally just go and make a coin and almost do whatever they want. And maybe 2 years later, the SEC will come after them. So do you think that in the same way that one might criticize the people who design casinos for designing them in a way that encourages people to spend as much time and money as possible, do you think that the developers of these meme coins who then go on Twitter and hype them up, and obviously some of them are just, unfortunately, in a decentralized world, are going to be just straight up pump and dumps, and there's not a whole lot we can do about that. But do you think that the developers have any, hold any responsibility for the actions that the users take if they know that users might be gambling their money away? Or is it kind of just more up to the users to do the work that they need to do to make sure that they are able to control themselves and learn the financial literacy skills? Or is it ultimately, like you said earlier, just a complete failure of the system all around and not any one person is to blame except for whoever's the Illuminati who are running at us at the very top?
The Illuminati, okay. Well, I was thinking of this analogy. I like comparing this with sports betting just because that has become extremely big in the US and I think many places in the world in the last, like 5-10 years. And I suspect that the meme coin budget for most people is the same budget as the sports betting budget. It's coming from the same pile because it's giving you the same kick, right? Because in sports betting, people love to do this. You don't bet on just one match, right? You make it so you have to win 5 outcomes and then you get paid 10,000 times your money. This is what people love to do. So that seems like it would be the same trigger in your brain as the meme coin trading. But one huge difference is if you keep gambling on sports, that's not like a gateway drug to some interesting world. You're not going to become an NBA player by gambling on basketball. Like nothing's going to happen. You're probably not even going to get better at the gambling. But when people are spending the time trading meme coins instead, they are dealing with cutting edge decentralized technology. And you are learning about something that is very new and exciting, just in a very silly way. So assuming the budget is the same for the sports betting and the meme coins, which I suspect it is, then I would much rather have people do the meme coins. Yeah, I mean, you're helping design this whole new thing.
Sorry, I was on mute. So the last 2 weeks of meme coin trading got a little bit interesting beyond just like all the dog and animal themed tokens. So there were a lot of cleverly named meme coins on Solana, and they drew some criticism from various communities and a call for better filtering from the Anti-Defamation League and others in the U.S. and abroad. So shortly afterwards, DexTools and BirdEye announced that they had plans for better filtering of newly launched tokens. And a lot of people in the space might view this as censorship, and those sentiments were expressed, right? They view it possibly as being censorship and interference and decentralized free networks and decentralized peer-to-peer networks. So what are your thoughts on the matter? Like, I'm sure you saw the coins. Some of them were racially themed. Some of them were anti-Semitic, and they raised eyebrows and within crypto, but especially outside of crypto. And people that don't know anything about crypto are always looking for, I don't know if it's intentional or it's just because, you know, it makes headlines, but they're always looking for something negative to put into the mainstream news as a headline. So this was that, right? But what's your thought on censorship within decentralized free markets?
Yeah, I've kind of been dreading this question. Yeah, for us who work in the industry, it was so frustrating when we started seeing like the tickers and the meme coins. I guess it's like a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, when I saw the response from the ADL, I thought that wasn't real. I thought somebody just photoshopped that, but I looked it up now and it seems to be quite real. So that was very quick on them. That's good on them. And I mean, it goes without saying, at Sidechips, we would never list anything that's like racist or even hinting towards it, or we're never going to list anything that shits on any ethnicity or gender or like whatever. That's anything like that. Nothing like that is a goal. So I think the community responded really well. I mean, the simplest way to deal with this is just to not buy. I'm not even going to say offensive, because it was really rude meme coins. Just don't buy those. Then the price doesn't go up, right? And encourage your friends to do the same. That's how you take the attention away, because the meme coins is about getting attention. And once you don't get the attention, people have already moved on to the new meta. So I was sitting around thinking like, please, will people just move on to new meta already? Like, I hope it happens really fast. And it did happen really fast. But I was also happy that you know, that this website, like, did you mention Deck Screener and some others? BirdEye. Yeah. No, they just said, I'm sure what they said internally is, we'll give them a few days to stop with this nonsense. And if they don't, we'll just make it so we hide things from the site. And obviously, if the tokens are hidden from the top leaderboard or whatever on these sites, that's going to affect the price of that token very negatively. So I think the people had been stupid enough to buy these offensive meme coins. I think they were seeing the reaction from the community and understanding that they had just made a very poor decision and an even worse investment, and just abandoned ship immediately. So I think that's why we saw this really quick rotation out of all the meme coins in bad taste. So I think the community did really well. And I even know.
Yeah, they pivoted into drug coins. So at the start of this week, it was like cocaine, heroin, fentanyl. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, there were drug coins that were pumping. It's funny, you know, the mimetics.
Yeah, I was going to continue on the previous one, which was I saw a clip, like a sketch from Barstool Sports that was released very recently, where they had made a skit about meme coins. You can go watch the skit for yourself, but it's basically a guy who's been buying meme coins, goes to his financial advisor's office and has to explain what all these things are. And it was a really good skit. And I'm glad they took that approach of making fun of the people who are into offensive meme coins instead of like getting triggered and everything. So I think that we saw well. And like you mentioned, people rotated into meme coins named after drugs, including fentanyl. And I mean, I wish I could sit there and say that it's a positive thing that they're raising awareness about the fentanyl and opium crisis of the world, but they're just not doing that. Honestly, when I saw that whole thing, I just shut off my computer and I just did something else. I missed that whole alarm.
Yeah.
I missed the whole drug meme coin part of the rotation.
I think it's interesting. If you're native to crypto and you've been around for a while, then you understand like memes and trolling and the culture, the fact that you can do anything and create anything without any barriers is part of the freedom that, you know, crypto allows for. So I think that that's a demonstration of it. Just like when a day before the SEC approved the Bitcoin ETFs, someone hacked the SEC's account and through Gary Gensler announced that the ETF was approved, right? And that was like, that was the ultimate troll, or there's the Joe Biden token, or there's a Trump token, or there's the Elizabeth Warren token. As offensive as they are, it's like there's an element of free speech to it, and just that crypto has no barriers in a way. So I saw it from that point of view. And then I remember what parents tell their children, which is don't give a bully attention, right? Like all meme coins, like you said, thrive off of attention and engaging in outrage or something cute. Like they just need attention. And by circulating and getting that attention, then price goes up. So I get that. So I also felt like you, like if nobody gives them, people are going to trade them and make money. But the ultimate objective of people that might have made those tokens is to create some sort of outrage and to get the mass media or mainstream media to cover it and then to troll them further via that coverage. So, you know, you don't give oxygen to a fire if you don't want it to spread. Yeah, I like that. But then, you know, something else that I thought about, though, like as offensive as the tokens were, it made me think of the Ethereum rollback. That's the very first thing that came to mind. I was like, this is going to be a censorship. Yeah, it's going to be a censorship issue. Like when Ethereum got hacked and they're like, what do we do? Do we fork? Yeah. Do we roll back? You know, and Ethereum still gets a lot of shit for that today, for the decision that they made there. Any token, like even Blast just got hacked by a white hat for like 60 million, right? And they were having to contend with this issue. Like, are we going to stick to the rules of decentralization or are we going to roll back this transaction so that we can recover the funds? Like, even they have to consider that, right? So that was something that I thought about with these meme coins. Like, if there's a filtering system where offensively named tokens are not able to be listed, then what does that say about kind of a core ideology at crypto? So, and I guess fortunately, attentions have shifted. And the last thing, point of view I had, because Jonathan and I discuss, is Cointelegraph going to cover this, right? Like, how would we cover this? And an editor in my department was like, how are we going to cover this if we choose to cover this? And it's going to look odd if we cover one cohort of tokens, but we didn't cover another offensive cohort of tokens at all. Like, there's already a double standard there. So I was telling Jonathan, like, I remember when Uniswap launched and when they did the airdrop. And from day one on Uniswap, there was all sorts of crazy offensive tokens there. And there was no news stories about that. It didn't cause any sort of collective outrage. Some of them had volume. Some of them didn't. Of course, DeFi wasn't as developed as it was now. But, I mean, those offensive tokens have always been around. So I kind of felt like the best response beyond maybe filtering or putting them behind a tab, like a triple X tag or something. The best response is to just let it play out and ignore it and let the FBI and whoever, CIA, if they want, let them track where those funds are going. If they're going to militiamen or supremacist organizations or neo-Nazis or whatever, like, where are the token flows going? But if it's ending the same way all meme coins do, with one guy holding all the money that investors put into it or investors rotating into Ethereum, Bitcoin, and other meme coins, then just let it be. It's a free market. So it was kind of my thought on the matter.
Yeah, you mentioned a few things. I had no idea that there were offensive ERC-20 tokens when Uniswap started. I didn't know about that. What were like the general categories?
Anything, you know, explicitly sex related, genitalia related, racial related, you know, Osama bin Laden is dead related, like anything you can think of that's hateful, you could find it there. And they'd have like a market cap of $1,000 or $15,000. None of them really got crazy traction. So
very similar. So history does repeat. I wasn't aware of this one. You were mentioning rollbacks. And I mean, one big difference, and you mentioned censorship. One big difference is we don't have to censor or act in any way on these tokens on the chain. That's not necessary. I hate to bring it up, but people have been storing images of child pornography on the Bitcoin chain to troll. So people have, it's a many, many years ago, but people did store content on the blockchain to try to get it banned somehow. And the way that was solved in Bitcoin, if I remember correctly, is that on your hard drive, the content on the chain is not stored in a perfect sequence. So that image somebody uploaded on the chain, it wouldn't be stored in one continuous file on your computer. It would be split up very randomly. So you would need very specialized tooling to extract that image. You would basically need to build that tooling or seek it out, which in some ways then would be the criminal behavior. So we didn't have to change Bitcoin back then to deal with these trolls. And in the same way, we don't have to do it on the meme coins, the offensive meme coins, because all you need to do is just have the wallets and Deck Screener and Birdseye and these platforms, just have them work together to make a filter list. So they don't show up, or they show up in this XSX tab. And that will make these projects so they'll be ignored. They won't get any attention like we discussed before, and they'll just die off. So we don't need to censor on the chain itself. Just let them, the people who developed the tools for viewing the chain data, which is like a wallet or a Dex or something, they can deal with it, what they want to show their users. And we saw immediately that what they want to show the users is, if necessary, they will hide all the offensive stuff, because it damages the brand of their product and the whole ecosystem and everything we're all working on. I think the reaction's been really good.
Both within crypto and outside of crypto, everyone seems to love memes, but it does seem like within crypto, memes just are especially potent for whatever reason. So what do you think more serious blockchain projects can learn from the extreme success, euphoria, and hype that surrounds meme coin projects? Like, what can they learn from their branding? What can they learn from their marketing? Or what can they learn just from the way that people interact with and seek out these sorts of projects?
Wow, I haven't really thought about that, but it's a really good question, because people should study the successful meme coins, because it's the time from idea to development to launch, to knowing if it's a success or not, and then having to fight to maintain that success on a meme coin. I mean, this happens in minutes, hours, or days. As for traditional business, you know, you're talking months and years. So the things that come to mind immediately for me is the meme coin launchers. It's hard to call them builders, but the meme coin founders. They definitely understand the value of building a community very quickly. So they're aggressively getting people interacting on Telegram and Discord around the project really early. And they obviously incorporate humor a lot in the project. For the meme coins, humor is often the only use case, really. I mean, it's art. And we can all learn from that. And they've also come up with some interesting stuff in terms of technology. So this is really inside DeFi here, but often the people in the meme coins, they will supply initial liquidity and tools on DEXs in the form of, if the token is, you mentioned Boden. So if the token is Boden, they will supply liquidity on a DEX for USDC Boden. Or actually, I think they prefer to Sol Boden. So they'll provide liquidity in Sol Boden, which means they're putting their own Solana tokens in the pool, and also the Boden tokens. And in return, they get an LP, liquidity provider token, back. But what these projects do a lot to, I think it's to show their commitment, is they will often burn many of these LP tokens. They will send it to a burner address, which means it's not recoverable. And that means that whatever liquidity they put in initially in the pool, they cannot pull out. So the pool liquidity can never drop below that point. And that's something I've never seen before. I don't know if regular projects have done this, but I suspect this is something people are going to start doing for these regular coins as well.
Yeah, I think that one thing that meme coins demonstrate is that there are multiple types of value in this world, multiple types of currency. And I think that much of the crypto space, especially tech in general, and people who are kind of very serious or like really motivated for social causes, want to change the world, which is what a lot of the builders in crypto are focused on. I think that it's easy to forget sometimes that humor, friendship, and fun is can certainly be just as valuable of a currency as can be like an actual physical, tangible product. Some of the criticism you hear about music and art and film is like, oh, this is a waste of money, or like, go out and build a bridge, do something that's actually like, go farm, I don't know, do something that's actually contributing something tangible to this world. You don't hear this that often anymore, I think, but it certainly is a criticism I have heard. But then when you think about like, what is life without entertainment? What is life without art? What is life without humor? What is life without music? And it's really not a life that I personally would find particularly enjoyable. So I think that maybe we can think a bit about meme coins in that way, that yes, there certainly are, you have to do your due diligence, and or it's not all roses and fun, and people do lose money and there are scams and blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, the value that they represent of fun, humor, enjoyment is something that I think is underappreciated a lot of the time, especially in a space that is so focused on like building out the technology, technological backbone for the future. So yeah, that would be my takeaway, a final takeaway on meme coins. I would not encourage my grandparents to go start investing into meme coins if they're looking to get into cryptocurrency. But you know, if they had an extra, if they put 1,000 in Bitcoin and they had $30 left afterward, why not put it into Dogecoin or SHIB or
Pepe,
Doinky Doink Coin 2.34, whatever the one that just launched 1 second ago is.
I trade meme coins, but I think I started a bit late this year. So, but I trade them. They're fun. I'll put $5 or $10 on them. So to me, WIF was a wake up call.
Oh, that's what I've done too.
Yeah. WIF was a wake up call. WIF, Pepe, SHIB, all those coins during ETH Denver, when they all started doing 300 to 600% on 2 to 3 days. That was kind of course, the aggregate funding rate was really high and annualized funding was high. Yeah. But yeah, I trade them.
I bought one meme coin that I thought was going to do really well. I can't remember what I put in, maybe $10. And it was called Spoder, as in Spoderman, which is the slightly odd-looking Spider-Man. It just rugged immediately.
Yeah, that's okay. You're paying the devs that put in the time to launch that clone contract and do the artwork, so that's okay.
Yeah, I thought it was very funny.
Sometimes that's what matters, and then we'll close, but that's why I bought Bowden. I thought it was funny. I just thought it was Joe Bowden. I thought it was funny. Yeah. Sometimes that's why I buy them, because I like the artwork, or I like the concept, or it has like a sentimental value to it. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason I buy it, because it's just $5. I mean, we waste $5 on anything all the time, so I spend $5 on coffee.
Latte at Starbucks.
Yeah, yeah. So for me, it's like, if I'm wasting money all the time, I can waste $5.
Yeah, and as you say, I've been to Brooklyn, man. Some of those coffee shops, it's just so expensive.
Oh, yeah. For sure,
yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It is. So I'd rather get a laugh out of a meme coin than exploited by a coffee shop.
There you go.
And forced into tipping, because you have to like force tip them now too. Everybody's like, just like,
40% down.
And also fill this out. I spoke to you for 20 seconds, but I want you to give me 20% more than what you're paying now, just because that's what the computer is telling me to do.
Thank you guys. No, this is really nice. It's been a pleasure and it's cool.
Found you interesting? Is there somewhere that they can find you online to follow you and what you're up to?
Yeah, I use Twitter a lot more than I should, so you can follow me on Twitter. My username is ABRKN. I'm sure you can link to that. And I also publish a newsletter every week on shitcoin.com, which I have done for 268 weeks or something. So you can check that out.
Love it.
Very nice.
Andreas, thanks for coming on. It was great chatting with you. Thanks for spilling the tea on everything that's happening with meme coins and where you think they're going and how there's more to them than just speculation. The Agenda is hosted and produced by me, Ray Salmond.
And by me, Jonathan DeYoung. You can listen and subscribe to The Agenda at cointelegraph.com/podcasts or on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever else podcasts are found.
If you enjoyed what you heard, rate us and leave a review. You can find me on Twitter at Horace Hughes, HorusHughes.
And I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and just about everywhere else at MadDopeMatic. That's MadDopeMadic.
Be sure to follow Cointelegraph on Twitter and Instagram at Cointelegraph.